This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Have another chance at $1,000 coming up in this national Turn It On, Leave It On contest. You only have 2 days left of that. Coming up at 3:20, it's not mayonnaise. It's a Cowboys insider. David Hellman will join us.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah,
Hellman's mayonnaise.
Okay. Yeah, it's not mayonnaise. It's a Cowboys insider.
All right.
Pretty good tease right there. I'll probably have another one for you, though, cooked up for the end of this segment.
Okay.
So, stick around for that. Stick around for Helm, and it'll be great to get his thoughts as we're now just 2 weeks away from the draft. Stephen Jones is going to join us next Friday to talk about this. All next week, we'll be taking your Cowboys questions for our expert panel. It's going to be great as we enter the final approach to the 2021 NFL draft. And Cowboys can't screw this up, can they?
What do you mean? Like they can't afford to, or they won't?
It's so hard to screw it up with so many good players. I guess you could take Quiddy Pay. That ain't going to happen.
I just worry about stuff like that. I really do. With Daniel Jeremiah, he is the only one that has mocked Quiddy Pay to the Cowboys at 10, and you worry about stuff like that.
Don't worry about it.
I hope not.
Don't worry about it. They can't screw this up.
No.
The only way they could screw this up, Gavin, is if they weren't open to taking an offensive player and intentionally took an inferior player. But even that player would help your football team, I think. They're not going to screw this up.
Please be open to taking an offensive tackle.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Kyle Yeomans on the draft show this morning, kind of, and I encourage you to watch it, something Jeff and I are on. And he said he was hearing in the building that they might not look at an offensive tackle at 10.
Oh, Yeomans, chill out, dude.
I'm just saying.
Chill out, Yeomans.
I think you need to be open. I think you need to be open to all possibilities. I don't think Pitts is going to be there, but you got to be open to taking an offensive tackle at 10.
Yeah, you got to be eyes wide open, mind wide open to find the best opportunity.
With arms wide open. Should we do that? We'll just sing each segment just for a second.
If it reminds you of it, I'm willing. I'll go along with you if I know the tune. Okay, we have the Lockdown Defenders Blueprint for Stompin' Luke. Great content right here, Mavs fans. Sandiford Artest, which is Ron Artest's new name.
What? Sandiford. Okay.
Yes, he says, when I watch Luka, I always think, how would I have stopped him?
Okay.
Ron Artest, later on Meta World Peace, was the 2003-2004 Defensive Player of the Year. He was outstanding, one of the great two-way players of his time. He says, it's getting more difficult to see. You know, when he's watching Luka, he's like, man, well, what would I do? And younger Luka's like, okay, I'd take that, I'd take that. And now he's like, I'm not sure. Ron did say, I'd get in tip-top cardio shape and test Luka's endurance. That might be the best thing you could do. You know, when I played pickup basketball, couldn't shoot from the outside, not quick. Okay.
And that's a tough combination.
So I would try to turn it into a marathon. I'm just constantly making loops around, and on defense, I'm working my butt off to try to deny you. I'm going to make you work for everything. And if you are out of shape by the end of the game, maybe I can get an easy bucket or two. Maybe I can get a stop. You know what I'm saying? And I think against guys, especially like Luka, who's a little bit heavier and might not be able to get the cardio in shape, that could really play off in one of these hard-fought playoff games.
I'll tell you what, you know, and it makes a lot of sense because I'm going to tie it into football. It's like when you throw the ball a ton on offense, you tire those pass rushers out is what happens. And a lot of teams don't have – they'll try and rotate, but they won't have the quality. But you do. You test their cardio – and if they're not up to it, then you tire them out rushing the passer. You come back, you have the ability, you build a lead. Then you get into running the football. You wear them down. They quit. You know, that makes a whole heck of a lot of sense to somebody that used to see things that way.
Yeah, and Ron was willing to do, you know, whatever it took to get the win. Meta World Peace, Sandiford Artest.
Meta, I looked this up. Meta Sandiford Artest.
Okay.
He took his wife's name as the first part of his last name and then hyphenated it, which calling that a boss move. Yeah. Calling that a boss move.
Yeah, he's breaking new ground. Mm-hmm. I support it. So I think one of the interesting things would have been when he drives. He's usually able to push off, which probably would have been more difficult. I'm playing at 255, 260. Wow. He was so strong. He said, so that probably would have been difficult, but he's really crafty. For the first three quarters, it would be really hard for you to get a jumper unless you're coming off a screen. That was just my thought process guarding guys. You're going to have to drive. And I don't mind a guy getting 15 or 20 in the first quarter. If you're getting that against me in the first, you're probably done. So we'd have a strategy. He's trying to wear you out in multiple ways. And, he's not going to give you an easy jumper, which is really interesting. You know, to give up the drive and not be willing to give up the jumper. Because to me, I'm disappointed when my team settles for a jumper. But for Ron,
everyone is except the Spurs.
Yeah. For Ron and actually at least one of the other guys in this, that's going to be their first thing that they're going to try to take away and then deal with everything from there. And in order to be that defender, you have to be so brilliant at defending, but also very quick and strong, because you're going to get so far up into a guy that most defenders would not be able to recover. But Ron Artest was able to, that, you know, he wasn't getting absolutely crushed with that strategy.
That's what makes it so hard to guard Luka, is you have to worry about everything from step back three to post up. He has all of it. He's got the mid-range fadeaway now. He can post you up. And when he goes to the hoop and blows by you, a lot of times he's going to let you blow by him when he gets there. When he's going to hit the brakes like he did last night.
Fly right by.
Top gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got this arsenal. And that's why we're very spoiled that we went from Dirk to Luka, because that is the profile at the age of 22 of one of the best players of all time.
Yeah.
But
top tenner.
I'm just remembering, if you guys, we've seen like a guy like Ben Simmons have some success.
Plays him well.
Plays him well. Because he has length, and he's willing to get up on him, you know, and we've seen Luka back people down or use, you know, be a bully and get to the rim. But if you have a guy that has some sturdiness to him, like a Ben Simmons, if you could get up and make him have to fight you all day.
Yeah, that's when his teammates are going to have to help, because you can't beat a guy like Ben Simmons consistently.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You just make him go through a KP pick six times and see if he's still there.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to have to find a way. But can Ben Simmons running through picks and stuff like that? I mean, he's capable. I'm saying it's only in a way that you don't have a lot of guys that are like Ben Simmons.
No,
but Ben Simmons seems to play him the best because he's willing to get up on him, and he's not scared of having to deal with him that way, or him blowing by him, or him taking the shot, you know, the step back shot, or him putting his shoulder or his forearm in his chest while he's going to the basket.
Yeah, I think that's an important takeaway here, is while these guys might give you the blueprint on how to stop Luka, nobody else can work the blueprint.
Yeah.
You have to be genetically capable.
You have to be capable. That's the hard thing about playing some of these great players, is if you're not that body type, and you also have to have the willingness to do it too. You have to be committed to the plan, because if you're worried about Luka putting his shoulder down and then getting you off balance and then stepping back and hitting that shot, I mean, you've got to be committed to it. And that's why I was, like I say, a guy like Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons might not be able to shoot himself, but he understands how to play defense on people like this. And he's got that the genetics you were speaking of.
You know, the reactions, the anticipation, reading a guy, you know, knowing all that stuff. There's so much that goes into being that good of a defender, because certainly there's tons of great athletes in the NBA. Tony Allen is next, as we're looking at the Lockdown Defender's Blueprint for Stopping Luka off ESPN. This is a great article that Tim McMahon put out there. By the way, I should have said that much earlier, but salute to Timmy Mac. Tony Allen, who called Kobe the best defender he ever faced, said this is how he tried to stop Luka. He says he'd sit on his left hand to avoid Luka's step back three. He says that's number one. I'm going to be on that left hand. You move it over to the left. I'm going to try to take it. He says, I'm not giving it up. Everything you're going to have to beat me with is going to have to be going to the right. I know that's your strong hand, but you can get 9 points and 3 shots going to the left. So I think that's more deadly. the percentage of 3-point makes, I think, is going up so high that a shot that used to be so bad is now the number one thing that elite defenders are taking away. You're going to do what? You're dribbling and you're going to shoot a three? In the 90s, you didn't even do that to begin with. And now we're going to take a giant step back and shoot it from over here after moving 5 feet laterally and backwards. You're going to get your feet back up under you and go up with a clean look. Yes, I am, coach. Oh, okay. Well, that's a big problem. and Tony Allen understands that with his answer.
But I think if you can get good enough at that shot to where, to your point, elite all-time defenders are saying, that's what I want to take away.
Yeah.
Oh, the possibilities.
Yeah.
You're most terrified of me from 25 feet.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot easier to get to 5 feet.
You know, one of my worst basketball takes of all time was, I think Steph Curry's an overrated ball handler. And I would talk about this exact thing. I said, it's not his ball handling. It's the threat of his three that is cooking people again and again and again. And, you know, he's still the king at it. What he did last night was just stupid.
He's on probably the best run of his career right now.
Yeah.
Last week and a half.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch.
Drops 40 every
night. I almost want him on a bad team just by himself so we can get the full scope of Steph.
It's kind
of
happening right now. Yeah,
it is happening. You're right about that. Tony Allen continues, if you score on me, you're going to have to score on me that hard every time. But one thing that I'm taking away is that left-handed dribble to step back into the shot. That rhythm, nah, I'm not ever letting you get comfortable to get into that. So I'm on you. Go right, do whatever you're going to do. Allen is now yelling as he talks to Tim McMahon. He's demonstrating this on court before a game. You're going to drive and lay it up? All right, I'm going to contest. Can you step back going right? Okay, then. You're going to have to do everything to that right side. And what if you try to come back? I'm right here, mofo. I'm taking it. So I think the move to the right, dribble, step back is Luka's next mission. He says, you can't get discouraged with prolific players. They're going to score, but your job is to contain and cut it down. I can give you what you're going to take because you're cold. That's how good you are because you're Luka. But if he gets comfortable with the step back, it's like, damn, who's sticking him next? If I'm going to defend him, I'm going to put myself to the test and say, you know what? I'm not giving you that step back three. All right, and here's something else Tony Allen says. He was a very physical defender, and he would get away with a physical brand of defense that left a lot of players beat up and, like, shrugging their shoulders at the ref. He says,
the Seattle secondary back in the day. It's like, I bet you won't throw a flag on every play.
Yeah. He says, I can spell out my first foul and set the tone and say, this is how I'm playing tonight. So he can know when and what not to call with me being physical. I want to waste my first foul and let him know I'm here tonight. Whether it's pushing his ass real hard or whatever the case may be, I'm here, ref. Come on, ref. I'm first team all defense. This is how I play. Come on, man. Let me play. So he'll go out and foul the hell out of the guy. So anything short of that, that's just the way I play.
Must not be a foul.
Yeah. No, what I did at the start, that was a good call, ref. Yeah, don't let me do that. But anything short of that.
I don't know why you're drifting towards, see?
Yeah. And he says, if the ref lets me do that, then now we've got a battle. Yeah, I'm going a little 1930s on you a few times today.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. And then Bruce Bowen's plan is to make...
Oh, I got it. I know Bruce Bowen's plan.
All right.
He has two different ways he defends people.
All right.
One is he jumps and then kicks you in the face.
Yes.
And the other one is he lets you shoot and then he runs underneath you and tries to break your ankle when you
undercut
land.
You.
That's
yeah.
Bruce Bowen's two moves.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Well, not quite. Okay. You know, he's got a slightly different view of his cheating career.
Okay.
You know, that showed incredible disrespect to his peers.
He kicked a guy in the face that was shooting a three.
Yeah. Bowen's plan is to make Doncic uncomfortable every moment he has the ball.
Okay.
So he is willing to admit to that. No matter how far he is from the basket, the goal is take a mental and physical toll. Even though he's not a player that's rushed, I'm going to pick you up full court as much as possible and make you work. So that you're not having a fresh mindset when it comes to attacking in the half court. Bruce Bowen said, if I can be a little physical with him and make him work a little bit more, a lot like defending Steve Nash. Now when it comes time to finish plays, maybe he's not as geared to finish the plays quite like he was in the beginning because he's being pressured a little bit. Now he has to worry about what I'm going to do from the standpoint of making him work while he has the ball, bringing it up the floor. It's not something comfortable. Yes, he can do it, but does he want to do it? Probably not. So, yeah, you know, none of these guys really have a great plan other than give something up, take away the other thing, and be really good and long.
Be incredibly annoying.
Yeah, I think that the plan would be to make him have to work. That's it. Don't let to me. It seems to me that everything is about making. Don't let him feel comfortable.
Yeah,
and allowing him to play. If you can kind of, and I'm not saying rattle him, but if you can make him have to do exert more energy, mm-hmm. then it might have, you know, you might be better off playing him that way.
All righty, it is bank the on Jeep Back Nation.
Rick taking him out early.
How do you cover the chunky guy? Run a lot. Run a lot.
They'll be back in action tomorrow night, taking on the Knicks at 8:30. Yeah, we talked Dogecoin earlier, 817. I know you're fired up about that. Every day he's on that text.
You should be right now.
Well, yeah. Over 19 now. I sold in the 18s because I thought it would come crashing back down and I could buy again at like 11.
Yeah.
But we're at 19, yeah.
Yeah, we're cooking, fam.
All righty. Coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation, what the hell, man? We go to David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com, talking Cowboys here with you in the Nation. Yes, sir. Welcome back, Nation. One more afternoon off for Mike Fisher. He will return tomorrow. Mm-hmm. David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com is set to join us right here in the Nation. We'll talk a little draft. Our path through the draft is brought to you by Pluckers. Head out to one of the 7 DFW locations for the draft day party, Thursday, April 29th. Segments brought to you by My Computer Career as well. And here he is from DallasCowboys.com, David Hellman.
He's in the building!
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for joining us.
What up, dude? Thanks for having me.
Right on, buddy. Appreciate it. You having fun on that draft show? It's been outstanding to keep up with it.
In case I miss Brian, I get a twice weekly reminder that it ain't all that great.
Oh, you sounded so excited before the show, though.
It's true. No, it doesn't take long to be reminded, like, oh yeah, this guy's the worst.
I was going after you for taking a vacation like everybody else at the Cowboys, like when things are, you know, we're about to have a draft or free agency, you guys decide to all leave the building. Was I getting on you about that, right?
And you know what I realized? Like, without you around to guilt trip me, I'm like, wait a second, the draft is still 3 weeks away.
I think it's less than that, sir. You just decided to go on vacation when we're all getting ready for the draft.
But from our perspective, like, the hay's in the barn, my dude. The tape has been watched. Like,
it's not like we get to conduct these interviews.
Who are they going to take, Dave, at 10?
Come on.
Patrick Surtain.
You boring son of a biscuit.
Okay, do you want boring or do you want right?
I want fun.
Well, if you want fun, then we pray for Kyle Pitts to fall. But
hey, well, Dave, let me ask you something real quick. Kyle Yeomans on the show today said that, and I don't know, again, I'm just whatever. He said it on the show, on the draft show this morning, that they would not be interested in taking an offensive tackle there potentially. Is that something that surprised you? That kind of caught me a little off guard there.
So that's, and I think where Kyle, and I've heard some of the same stuff, which is like they're not doing as many interviews with offensive linemen. You know, a lot of focus on cornerbacks, a lot of focus on defensive players, which you might expect. But does that mean that they wouldn't draft the guy? Like, do they need to conduct an official interview with Penei Sewell to draft him if he falls to him? I don't know. I mean, yeah, we try to read the tea leaves every year. But I don't know. I don't know if that means that much. I think it just depends on who's available to him.
Are you speaking into an Optimus Prime microphone? What do we got going on over there?
I don't think so.
Okay, we're getting some really cool sounds.
Yeah, that was interesting feedback. Yeah.
It sounds like Bumblebee transforming from vehicle to to stand-up transformer, and it's really interesting.
Is that any better?
You sound great now.
I don't know what happened.
I'm going to ask you a big cowboy question. How was Hawaii?
Oh, man, it was so good. Yeah. Like, I realized that I've been putting that off for way too long.
Mm-hmm.
Which island did you do?
I did Maui, and I did, like, all of Maui. Like, I did the beach, I did the mountains, I did the volcano, tried to cover the whole thing.
Are you any good at snorkeling?
No, yeah. I'm not, like, an amazing swimmer, but I didn't die, so.
Yeah. It's like a shirt part of the repertoire for snorkeling?
Are you trying to body shame me on Dallas Radio?
I don't know, I was just asking.
It's not, but, like, you know, it was a great day. I was trying to get a tan. Didn't really work, but.
We need to actually, Dave, we need to talk to Brian about shirt sizes because we were on a group text today for draft show.
I'm a bigger guy.
Brian, you've lost a bunch of weight.
Homeboy goes and loses a bunch of weight and thinks he can trash talk me.
I was not talking about your weight. I was just saying, though, that I didn't know if it was because you're tan. That's what I was saying.
I'm not tan. I'm actually very
That's what
pale.
I'm saying. I was a little worried about you there. I was worried about you getting sunburned, man.
I knew Brian as a work ethic shamer. I did not also know you as a body shamer.
I was worried about him getting not, you know, he's
that's not okay these days, Brian.
Not going to go over well with the millennial.
It's not okay these days.
I just worried about him getting a little sunburn out there.
Dave,
my back
ask,
is actually killing me.
There you go.
Let me ask you about a position that we haven't talked about a ton. I mean, I guess we have on the draft show, but we talk about safeties and we talk about corners and we talk about linebackers. At pass rusher, if you had to start today, I guess the Cowboys defensive ends are Tank, Gregory, Armstrong, Anai. You think they're in the market?
It's really frustrating. I just did a video segment for our website where I talked about this. It's like any other year, you would feel really good about having a badass pass rusher there for you in like the top 10 range. But it doesn't seem like it adds up this year, and it's really annoying. Like, I wouldn't want to draft Kwity Paye in the top 10. I don't like the Miami guys in the top 10. So, like, maybe now you're talking about pick 44, but I don't know. Like, it doesn't inspire me a lot, and it's a shame because it is a position they need to address. I just don't know if the value lines up.
Go ahead, Joe.
David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com here with us. What are the other positions you feel like need to be addressed following free agency? What's tops on your mind? Is it safety? Is it linebacker? What do you have in mind for the big needs going in?
I mean, I think, and you know, to Jeff's point, it's really boring because we've already done it, but it's cornerback, A, because of what they have, which is not a ton, and B, because of who's at the top of the draft. You know, I think Patrick Surtain and J.C. Horn were both great picks, and so if you're trying to read the tea leaves, it just makes too much sense to me. But obviously when you finish that low, like when you're that terrible on defense, everything's a need. You know, they need a safety. They could probably use some linebacker depth. You could find a defensive tackle, probably not on the first day, but maybe on the second day. None of that would bother me.
Let me ask you about then the linebacker. And give me your evaluation of how you felt like the linebackers played last year for the Cowboys. And I'm talking about with Smith and Van Der Esch and guys like that.
Like really poorly. Like, haven't we've been over that? I'm like, I don't know. It's really interesting to me because they got to figure out what to do about Leighton's option a week after the draft. So I'm thinking they probably wait and see what they do in the draft before they make that call. You know, if you draft the guy high, maybe you don't have to pick it up.
Well, like Parsons?
I wouldn't. But if you're going to do it, I think I said this on the draft show this morning, is find a way to use him as a pass rusher. Like, it's got to be more than just as an off-ball linebacker to be a top 10 pick, in my opinion.
It's David Hellman here, DallasCowboys.com. NFLPA pressuring the players to not do voluntary stuff. The Cowboys currently leading the league in players participating in off-season workouts even before the stuff gets underway. How's this sort out? Do you think these Cowboys are going to stay engaged? They got a lot of ground to catch up.
Funny thing about the Cowboys, like, this has never been a storyline for them because they all live here. Like, maybe it's the weather, maybe it's, I mean, it's, you know, the no state income tax definitely helps, but like, you know, a lot of these teams, guys live on the other side of the country for most of the year. That's not really the case here. Like, these guys are all here and they're all doing, you know, being up at the facility a little bit more. They're kind of reopening things. You see guys working out. We know that Dak loves to host group workouts at the field at his house. So, I mean, I understand the NFLPA pushing for player benefits, but, like, that's just, in my time covering the team, that's never really been a storyline. It seems like that, you know, guys are always here, not so much because they like practicing more than everybody else, but they're just already here, so it's easier to organize.
How many, where'd it go? I had a question for you, Dave. Okay, yeah, here it is. I found it. Don't worry. How high on the list of things to address is offensive line in any way, shape, or form?
So the way I always put it is, I mean, like, you can't pinpoint each pick. Like, we don't know who will be there at 44, right? Like, if Richie Grant falls to you, the UCF safety, you pick him. Or maybe he's gone. Or, you know, maybe if a great offensive tackle falls to you that you weren't expecting in the second or third round, you draft him. Like, we don't know how to predict it. But what I will say is they're going to pick four times in the top 100, assuming no trade. So they're going to pick 10, 44, 75, and 99. I think one of those four picks should probably be an offensive tackle. I don't care when it happens. It doesn't have to be the top 10. It doesn't have to be pick 44. But I think one of those four picks should be a guy that can step in if something happens to Tyron or Lyle.
What kind of trade proposal gets you out of that 10th overall pick?
Oh, we talked about this on the show today, and you got mad at me.
I always get mad at you. You know that.
Jeff, tell me what you think about this. And Brian's going to say, like, it's not realistic, but that's the point, because quarterbacks make people do unrealistic things. If the New England Patriots call you on Thursday night and offer you pick number 96 this year and next year's one to drop back 5 spots, you doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, because I'm not stupid.
Oh, I said shots fired at Brian. I mean, I think you can.
Brian is so obsessed with players. Like, give me picks. Not just this year, but next year too. Sign me up.
Yeah, I think, well, walk me through your thought process in that regard on player you're targeting or players.
Tell them who you're targeting.
Let's say Surtain and Horn are both there when you come up on the clock at 10, which I think is completely reasonable, probably even likely.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots want, let's just pick your quarterback of choice. Let's say it's Justin Fields, because it seems like the league hates him for some dumb reason.
He's going third. It'll be Mac Jones coming up for.
I agree with you. Okay, either way, pick your quarterback. So the Patriots want their guy. Horn and Surtain are still there. We'll even say Micah Parsons is still there. I don't think that's crazy. So they trade up to 10. You drop back 5. You get pick 96, and next year's one. And then, you know, one of the Eagles or Giants is going to draft a receiver, like Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith might go off the board. And when you come back on the clock 4 picks later, you'll probably still have a cornerback there. Or you could talk me into Kwity Paye at 15. You could talk me into Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, a guy that I absolutely love. Like, you'll have your pick of guys, and you'll have added a first-round pick. I would love that deal so much.
I like where your head's at. I don't know why Brian's so against it.
I'm against it because, to me, I think that when you start to talk about the players at 10, whether it's those tackles or those corners, I do think there's some drop-off there. And I'm not going to take the chance that I'm going to lose Newsome, because he's the one guy I'd like to have.
Think 3 corners could be gone?
I think 3 corners could be gone, yeah. I do.
That would hurt my heart, because that is a name that I would throw in there.
You know, darn good and well they're not taking Koramoah. You know that. They don't know where to play him.
Dreams,
they don't know where to play him. You know they're not taking him. You know, if you want to take Barmore there?
No.
See, that's what I'm saying. Why? I mean, and to me, if New England is not going to give you a one. Now, if you could get them, let me ask you this. Would you move for 46? Just once, the second round pick. You get 46 for 5 spots. It's a way overpay on their part, by the way.
I don't think I would do that. I'm trying to hold people up for first round picks, and I think a good quarterback can make that happen.
I would do it. Captain Trade Down likes to ride. It's my favorite thing.
So what you're saying is that you don't want anything to do with either Surtain or Horn.
What I'm telling you is I'm willing to peel off these 2 small joggers and put them on the table and tell you that either Patrick Surtain, J.C. Horn, or Greg Newsome, the Northwestern corner, one of them's making it to 15.
Yeah,
and I'll pick them.
By the way,
and I'll have an extra pick, and that extra pick is going to turn into either a free safety, an offensive tackle, and you're going to be like, "Oh, but we could have had." And I'll be like, "Yeah, but this guy might be better." Like, flip your coin. And I get another guy.
There was like 3 guys that just asked you, and you said you didn't want any of those guys.
Well, no, but you were pretending that a guy was going to be gone.
And you were pretending you were going to get a first round pick.
Well, I take what I can get.
Yeah,
you know?
You guys are living in fantasy land here.
I'm here for picks.
No, we're really not, though, Brian. Like, think again. You're only talking about dropping 5 spots, and now think about
go back and look through that. Have you ever seen anybody give? And I'm sure that please find me a team that gave a 1. For a 5 spot move, and especially the New England.
Oh, well, let's look up the quarterback trades of the last 5 years. I bet you get a bunch of it.
From 15 to 10, though.
For 5 spots.
A 5 spot move and a next year's one. Honestly, if you could prove me wrong, I'd be happy to tip my hat to you.
Brian, but I'll even play ball with you and say the trade is jet lag. Okay, you're right. Let's say the Patriots give you 46 instead, and that's all you get.
That's an overpay by them for that move. By the way,
only 4 players are going off the clock between you and your next pick, because you know the Patriots are coming up to get a quarterback, and we don't care about that. So now you're like, and you know, Devontae Smith will be there, Jalen Waddle will be there, like all these offensive players are still sitting there. You'll still get a great guy, and you'll have another top 50 pick to use on a player that can help you right away. I just don't see how that's a bad thing.
David, the Texas Rangers have won 3 of 4. How are those Mariners doing so far?
I think they're playing a doubleheader against Baltimore right now. I know they're above 500, but honestly, you know, thanks to being on vacation in Maui, I haven't been paying close attention. So, but good for them.
Our team's really good. Your team's awful. I don't know if you knew that.
We haven't played each other yet, have we?
No.
I gotta try to get out the Globe Life when they come down.
I just want to see if you knew so little that I could claim our team was good and you'd let that go.
I mean, I know we have a better record than y'all right now, but I mean, I think we're talking about like a measuring contest between the two shortest people.
Mm. Well said, sir. The nation salutes you. Thanks for your time and have a good one.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
You got it. He's at David Hellman on Twitter if you want to follow that gentleman. We good?
We're good.
Yeah, we're good. I like the way that Dave gives it to Brian, shuts him down, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
A lot different than when other guys are on in this spot and Brian's just kind of, bah! This time Hellman's just like, bah!
Ooh, Dave will shut you down.
Yep.
He will.
Brian has met his match.
Mm-hmm.
We got baseball stuff and takeaways from that Rangers game coming up next in the G-Bag Nation. Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation. And you know what? It's not a bad afternoon, but the rain's coming in, so... Yeah, let's bring back the fun, okay? Rain, go away. Let's have winning time. Text the word plant to 72881. That's plant.
It's just a plant.
To 72881. Your
Robert
chance
plant.
At a grand. Powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better. Download the BetQL app today. Let's talk a little baseball. And here's the question, Jeff, to get you started. I know you got a lot of Rangers thoughts over there, but I want a good answer on this question. If they find with Dunning and Gibby and Arihara that they're getting decent production, I'm starting to think you want to build around that, you know, more than I'd want to trade these guys. And the reason is if you find solid players, you know, who can be the framework of a team, now you just need to spend a little bit of money, right? If you trade those solid players for young guys, though, keep in mind how the chances of them even being average big leaguers, which you already have, and these guys are young enough. It's not like Mike Minor and Lance Lynn now. Now we're dealing with younger, solid guys who could theoretically be decent in 2 years. And if they're actually going to spend money, I think next year you could be a wild card team if some of this stuff continues to, you know, give us a sample size and give us encouragement.
Well, that is the turning point of the segment, Gavin.
Okay.
Great point. And if you think that way, and if the front office and the ownership feels like they're actually willing to spend a bunch of money this offseason to bring in not only a bat, but maybe a starting pitcher as well and whatever, if you're willing to do that and you feel that way, then these guys pitching well is just good of its own accord. And you go, sweet. What if, because Kyle Gibson's under contract for one more year, Arihara's under contract for one more year, Dane Dunning will be under contract forever. Because he's still MLB young, which means you don't get freedom for like half decade from now. If that turns out that that's something you're interested in doing next year, and then think about it this way, even if next year didn't go well and you were like, man, we were really going to go for a wild card spot, technically you could still trade those guys as rentals.
Yeah. But, I mean, and I shouldn't get this encouraged. They've won 3 of 4.
You should chill out.
I mean, it was nice last night. 5 2/3, 3 hits, 0 walks, 5 Ks from Arihara. I'm like, there's a guy that might be able to spend 5-6 years here in town.
Well, and he came over from Japan, so this is his first experience in big league baseball. So I don't know if this will be like I have no idea how good he is. And I do know that last night he threw 6 different pitches. I told you he had 7. He threw 6 of them last night, which we're going to have to get Jose Trevino back on because I don't know how you call for the 6th one.
I thought Jared said the 7th pitch was a curve. He threw 1 curve.
Oh, did he throw seven?
He threw the 7th. I think Jared tweeted that out last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how you call for 6 or 7 because you only have 5 fingers. If you count, do you count the thumb as a finger or do you count it as a thumb? You only have 5 digits on a hand, 4 fingers, and unless you're JPP. So I don't know how you would call for 6 or 7. But either way, once Arihara got out of a jam in the 2nd inning, he pitched really well. And Chris Woodward was sort of talking about it. He was like, you know, I think in his first start, there's something that's happened in baseball in the last few years that I bet Bassick would have appreciated in his time, which is you're no longer required by every pitching coach in the world to throw your fastball all the time. And, like, Arihara looks like the sort of guy that can throw backwards yeah. where it's breaking ball.
Starting to become frontwards.
Breaking ball, frontward, yes. Yeah. Where you can just kind of, you don't have to be like, oh, well, you want to get ahead with your fastball, and then you put him away with a breaking ball. Now, I mean, Lance McCullers can throw 28 straight curveballs in a World Series. We can pitch however we want. We can actually throw our best pitches. But I guarantee you, back in the day, Bassick and every minor league star, establish your fastball.
Yeah.
Well, skip, it goes 87. Yeah. It's not like it's not going to work great. Can I start with the changeup, and then maybe the fastball might surprise somebody?
Nope.
And Arihara might be one of those sort of pitchers, and Woody sort of alluded to that after the game, where it's like he needs to be comfortable throwing his off-speed stuff, maybe even as his primary stuff. And that might be, and MLB hitters don't know him yet. And so hopefully he can go on a nice run and get you some good starts. But speaking of him,
yeah,
I take you back to what I was talking about the starting pitching the other day when Brian was trying to hate on me. He was like, you, that's starting pitching. They don't got nothing.
Brought us why you hating.
Yeah, he does it a lot. So since Kyle Gibson and Arihara combined for 5 1/3 innings over the first two games, the starting rotation, we're only eliminating the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
Their ERA is 2.42. That is the ERA of your starting rotation. And Woody told us pitching was going to, the starting pitching would be the strength of this team. I thought he just meant that as a relative term. Like, well, we're not going to be good at defense and we won't be able to hit and our bullpen's going to be bad. But if our starting pitching's below average, it'll be the strength of our team. But they've been, over the last 10 games, your starters have been really good. And on even over the course of the year, the ERA of the Rangers starters is 9th in the major leagues, even when you factor in those two awful starts. So the starting pitching, getting a little something going.
All right. Well, that's good because, you know, baseball's cool. Winning baseball is roughly 2,500 times more watchable and enjoyable.
Yeah, and it's a lot more cool when you get an inside-the-park home run, even if you don't get to keep it. And that's what Adolis Garcia did last night. And
there's an athlete there, boy.
So he's a 28-year-old that his thing is he's a today's baseball player.
Swing hard?
He swings hard as hell.
Yeah, that's what.
And he's swinging anything.
Sandler said.
He's swinging anything.
Sandler gave us a little thumbnail scouting report on him. And he also said in his first start, he'll hit a home run tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Sandler, he watches a lot of baseball there.
So, Garcia hits one to right center that it's not part of the normal wall.
The trap, man.
There's a metal gate the wall out there, yeah. And it hits off the top of the metal gate, which is painted yellow.
Yeah.
So, and then it pops back into the field of play over the outfielders who are chasing it because they didn't expect it was going to hit a metal gate in the middle of their wall. And, like, he's running second, kind of confused, like, I guess keep running?
Yeah.
And so he kind of starts running again. He turns for home, and they call him safe. And it's like, inside the Parker, let's go! And then they reviewed it, and they called him out. But he still got to drive in the two runs before getting tagged out at home. So that was cool. And he's going to get to play more because everybody's hurt. He'll probably start again tonight. And he's just a fun guy to watch because what the Rangers like about Adolis Garcia, hits the ball hard, runs fast.
Yeah.
So he has a couple of things.
Good scouting report.
Can those couple of things turn into a useful baseball player? They hope so. And then this is not Rangers, but Carlos Rodon for the White Sox yesterday.
Yeah.
He threw a no-hitter, which will probably just get Major League Baseball to hurry up and move the mound faster and maybe even further. And the White Sox, by the way, they're only 6-6. But when you look at the White Sox starting rotation, Giolito, who is real-life ace, Rodon, Dallas Keuchel, Lance Lynn, that is potentially, I mean, they're in.
That's your model for a turnaround. 2 years ago, they were bud.
Yeah, and they're in the AL Central, so they may finish third or fourth in the division. I don't know, but like that rotation is built to go to battle, and they're going to move the mound back. In the
minor leagues.
What's that league
Atlantic
called?
Atlantic League or something like that, experimental.
The league where they make them do weird stuff, where they're like, thank you for doing all that weird stuff.
It's like the Atlantic League.
The Atlantic League,
You're contributing to this idea that the sport's broken. That's what you're doing right now. You're not fixing anything. You're doing weird experimental stuff. Nobody's going to change the distance of the mound.
I go back and forth because, like, I'm not... Once upon a time, I was really dug in baseball guy. Like, don't you change anything about this great pastime. But now I'm like, well, if it'll get more people into it and if it'll make the games more fun for people who may not watch right now, cool.
Just take the shift away. Let the guys hit normal again.
That might be better because, and what I hate about that is you're giving in and just saying, hey, we know you guys aren't as good at the sport anymore.
Yeah.
So we'll just make it so that the other team can't stop you from doing what you're doing, which is not learning to hit.
Yeah.
It's learning to swing hard.
Well, you know, we know you're optimizing it, but the game evolved and people fell in love with it before you figured that out. So now we got to go back. Every sport has rules that assemble the defense in a way or offensive players in a way that encourages competition.
Well, I think the shift is part of it, but I think the biggest thing is they just don't want the fact that you have 15 strikeouts per team every night.
Yeah.
Like strikeouts.
Well, that's because you have to try to hit it over the shift.
Nobody's trying to hit it over the
shift. That's where the home runs are.
Well, no, I mean, that's just where they're trying to hit, period. It's not about the shift. It's about that's where I hit.
But it wouldn't pencil out to be so numbers preferred and optimized to swing hard if you could also get line drives to that side. But a line drive to that side might be snared. So it's the launch angle and swing hard, because over the fence is how we beat this defensive alignment the best.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like the idea of moving the mound. It's like pitchers, you're like the NFL defense. Like, we're just going to do whatever we can because we don't want you to do well. We want the hitters to do well. And the pitchers are like, well, the hitters aren't learning to hit, so why are you rewarding them? And MLB's like, because we want people to watch.
Yeah.
What if we only played 7 innings?
I'm for it. I'm for those kind of things.
We've got some doubleheader games that have been 7 innings, you know, and it seems to be moving along okay.
That's too far for me.
I mean, but the time played, I think, is, you know, not your biggest issue. The biggest issue is the game has ground to a halt and it's home run or strikeout too much.
972 said aluminum bats, problem solved.
Yeah. But maybe some trauma nurses needed. Yeah. Holy cow.
Move the mound way back.
And put nets up in front of all the fielders.
I'm going to move third base back about 40 feet here. Here we go, Nation. We got hour 3 coming up here on 105.3 The Fan. I do want to tell you about our Sandlot Charities dinner from last night. Hopefully we can find out some point in the next 90 minutes to discuss that. But just how good has Porzingis been? A mostly positive KP segment that will tickle your mass fancy next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.